Chapter 19. Howell. Gwen had once told Howell that he should have the words "never assume" inscribed above his door. And right now, as he waited for Madog's funeral train to pass him, he reminded himself of the reason why. He had thought that his main purpose in coming to Ros was to pin Ivan down about Teguin's last days. And he'd done it, but he felt now as if he'd learned too much information about the wrong things. If Bran had done something so terrible that both he and his wife had died over it, Howell almost didn't want to know what it was. Almost. As Ivan had promised, it wasn't quite noon, and Madog would be in the ground within the hour. The preparations for Hallowmas could then go forward as planned. Teguin might have been dead for 5 years, and Madog for only a few hours, but from the buzz of conversation around Howell, most everyone was focused on Teguin. Her death had been violent, and everyone knew that it was those spirits who were the most restless. Howell and Evan stood to one side of the path leading out of Bryn Irin, as four mourners carried Madog's body towards them in its temporary coffin, inside which the body lay, washed and shrouded. As was the custom in Gwynedd for all burials other than noble ones, Madog would be laid in the grave in just his shroud, and the coffin would be reused. The priest led the procession, followed by Ivan, his family, and Madog's family. Howell hated funerals. He understood the need for them and the importance of easing the soul into the next life. It was supposed to cleanse the grief of those left behind. But Howell had attended too many funerals of loved ones to have any interest in witnessing the last journey of someone who may have feared death less than speaking to Howell about Teguin's disappearance. Evan shifted beside Howell, restless too, and Howell canted his head to indicate that he should move through the crowd. Howell's other men-at-arms had spread themselves out among the mourners, acting as Howell's eyes and ears the best they knew how. Howell brought his attention back to the procession, and as the body passed his position, he felt the pressure of a hand in his, followed by a low hiss and the words, "Teguin met with a man the morning she disappeared." Howell licked his lips, his eyes flicking among the crowd to make sure nobody was looking at him, and took a step back. His fellow mourners shifted to fill in where he'd been standing. An ancient yew tree arched over the pathway a few feet away, and he and the woman who had come to find him stepped behind it, allowing Howell to get a good look at his informant for the first time. She was perhaps 10 years older than he was, blonde and blue-eyed, and if he hadn't been a happily married man, he would have regretted not meeting her the previous evening.
"What can you tell me?" Howell said.
"You have to understand that when the story of how Teguin ran off with a Dane came out, I assumed I'd been mistaken in what I'd seen. Madog was so sure that he saw her getting into that boat. But now that Teguin died instead, I knew I needed to come forward."
With "never assume" echoing in Howell's head, he pressed the woman's hand.
"With whom did Teguin meet?"
"His name was Eric, a half-Dane in Bran's company," the woman said. "Teguin met him over in the trees not far from here. She wondered, you know."
Howell tried to keep his impatience in check.
"So I've heard."
"I know she came back to the castle after she met him, but my duties as wet nurse for her younger girl prevented me from asking her what Eric had wanted. I never saw her again."
"You never told anyone about this," Howell said.
The woman shook her head uncertainly.
"Not Lord Bran,"
Howell said, trying to keep his voice gentle. What he wanted to do was shake the answers out of her.
"No." The woman's eyes went wide. "When Lord Bran was told that Teguin had gone, his anger was terrifying. I stayed out of his way, and since Eric was his man, I didn't think it was my place to say anything."
"What about this Eric?"
Howell said.
"Did you ever talk to him about it?"
The woman sniffed and wiped at her nose. Howell was reconsidering his initial attraction.
"No, he left Bran's service that summer, and by then I decided I was mistaken. He was half Dane, and since Teguin had run off with a Dane, perhaps I'd confused one man for the other, and it hadn't been Eric I saw."
"Thank you for telling me."
The woman gave him a coy smile. Had he actually fallen for this sort of thing in the past? Howell decided he must be growing more discerning with age. He patted her hand and dismissed her. By now, the funeral procession had reached the bottom of the hill, and Howell walked along the edge of the road, passing some stragglers, until he could see the chapel and its circular graveyard with its freshly dug grave. The pallbearers had removed Madog from his coffin and were lowering him into the ground. Evan stood at the back of the mourners, and Howell moved to his side. They were standing to the left of the priest, who raised his hands and began a prayer.
Is everything all right, my lord?
Howell settled back on his heels. He'd walked up to Evan with a spring in his step, but to be so bright-eyed at a funeral was unseemly, and he should have known better.
I was just given helpful information and a real lead. I'll tell you when this is over.
Howell waited impatiently for the funeral rites to end, and for Ivan to greet each person who'd attended. Ivan had made himself into a fine lord, even if he hadn't been born to it. If things had fallen out differently, Ivan might have been pledged to the church, though it was rare enough in Howell's experience for a lord with only 3 sons to think that he had any to spare. Howell's father, King Owain, had fathered 10 sons already, only 4 of whom lived at their father's court. Rin and Howell as the eldest, both in their middle 20s, sons of an Irish woman their father had loved but never married, and the much younger Jorwerth and Maelgwyn, born to his first wife, Gwladys. Of the 6 remaining sons, Howell had met only 3. Kinnan, who was 3 years younger than Howell himself, Kadesh, and Madoc, all of whom lived in Powys, serving lords who would train them as warriors the way Howell himself had been trained. The Norman church would have had Jorwerth as his father's heir, but fortunately for Howell, in Wales, all acknowledged sons could inherit. In another world, Jorwerth might have made a fine king of Gwynedd, but Howell knew that Rin would make a better one than all of them.
Lord Ivan, if I may have one more word before I go.
Howell touched Ivan's elbow as the last of his people bowed before him and departed. Ivan's eyes flicked to Howell, and then back to the crowd of mourners heading up the hill to the castle.
I know you have people to see to, Howell said. This won't take but a moment, and my men and I will be on our way.
Ivan let out a breath and turned to face Howell directly.
Of course, how may I serve you? It is my understanding that after Bran's death, you found places for his men all over Wales,
Howell said.
I would like to know why.
Ivan gave a snort.
Isn't it obvious? It's as I told you last night. They were loyal to my brother. In many households, that loyalty transfers to the man next in line, Howell said. Which would be you?
I did not trust them, Ivan said. I had my own men, and Bran's men deserved the opportunity to serve a lord who would use them well. That lord was not I. Howell bent his head once in acknowledgement of Ivan's reasoning.
I'd like to inquire in particular about one man, Eric. He would have been half Welsh, half Danish.
Ivan was nodding before Howell finished his sentence. Bran got rid of him before my time. He sent him home, I believe.
Home, as in Dublin?
Yes, Ivan said.
You say got rid of him. Do you know why?
Howell said. It was during the transition from my father's rule to Bran's, Ivan said.
Bran arranged for most of our father's men to find posts with other lords. Thank you.
Howell stepped back.
And thank you for your hospitality. I won't keep you from your people any longer.
Ivan bowed, his hands clasped before him, and then strode past Howell and up the road to Bryn Éireann, the aforementioned people crowding around him as he went. Evan and the other men from Aber, meanwhile, converged on Howell.
Do we have a lead? Evan said.
Howell's eyes brightened.
Any of you fancy a journey to Dublin,